Each month on the Restoration of Home podcast, we're featuring a different rule of life, from hospitality to simplicity to order and stability. We're helping you create more peaceful homes and connected families through focusing on these rules of life. If you would love to learn more and apply them in your family, go to our book page, habitsforasacredhome.com, and you can order our book, Habits for a Sacred Home, that goes through 9 practices from history that can anchor and restore modern families. Included are recipes and study questions, and even a link to create your own family rule of life. We even have some awesome pre-order bonuses, another kind of a book list that you can just take to the library with you, a student planner, some wonderful bonuses that can help you create a more connected family and restored community. Grab your copy of Habits for a Sacred Home in the link in profile. This is Jennifer Pepito with the Restoration Home Podcast. This is the show where we talk about the peaceful path to connected families and restored communities. I'm so excited to be talking today with Angie Tolpin of Courageous Mom. And she's on the internet at Courageous Mom on Instagram. And then what was your website again?
It's becourageousministry.org. And my husband and I do a podcast as well at courageousparenting.com.
Awesome. And we'll link all that in the show notes. But I'm really excited to be chatting with you today about the concept of order. It's one of the hardest chapters that I had to write in the book, Habits for a Sacred Home. But it was a really important principle of the rule of Saint Benedict, that there had to be some kind of order in the monastery, essentially. And for a long time, I think Christians in their own homes have had a lot of messy wrestling with order, because we've seen, you know, some families like maybe abuse order. We've seen women who seemed like doormats. We've heard like down with the patriarchy cries. And I went through this whole swing in my own life, because early on as a family, we were listening to a lot of very old-fashioned and conservative teachings. People like Michael and Debbie Pearl. Like I know that for a lot of people, that's just a dirty word. We went to a Bill Gothard seminar. So we had some of that exposure to very conservative teaching that a lot of people really, really don't like now. And for some reasons, I completely understand. And so then for a little while, we kind of swung. We're like, oh, you know, some of these people are having some big problems with their kids or their ministries. And I had a daughter, actually, I talked about a lot in my first book, Mothering by the Book, who had an eating disorder. That's Emily, my co-host on the podcast. And so that situation made me so unsure of myself as a parent that I then began exploring other ways of parenting and other ways of being a family. And so I learned some really good things, like things about attachment theory and about the role of early childhood trauma and not having someone attune with you when you go through an experience. And so that shifted my parenting to a little bit more compassionate, I would say. And then also, you know, after a little while with no order, there's chaos and insecurity for our children. And so I read during that whole season, I read the book called The Endurance by, it was Alfred Lansing, but there's many versions of it. It's about an Antarctic expedition where Shackleton takes 26 men, I think, down to the Antarctic. They're supposed to cross it, but instead their ship sinks and they're stuck down there. And so he has to try and save his men. And it's this intense survival story. And the only way they survived is that there were very clear structures of order and authority. So when Shackleton said jump, they all said how high. And it wasn't just that he was the boss. He was a good boss. Like he would take the worst sleeping bags and he suffered with them. He was a great leader, but there was an awareness of roles of authority and of leadership that saved their lives. It absolutely saved their lives. And so I'd just love to talk to you about it and hear some of your perspective, because I know you've also been parenting long enough that you've probably seen people who said one thing and did another. And also, like for me, I've been parenting long enough that it's a little messier than I thought it would be. Like, I wish it was more like, do this and get this outcome. And it has been a little messier than I thought. My children all love the Lord. They all love us. They're doing their best to make godly biblical decisions, but it's not a perfect fairy tale like some of those people promised it would be. And I'd love to hear your perspective on just sort of even your journey as a parent and learning how to navigate this.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me on the podcast. Hello, everyone. It's nice to meet you. I think this is a really important conversation, and I'm glad that you brought this topic up. As far as the fairy tale that you just mentioned, that is 100% something that my husband and I are in ministry together, you know, through the Courageous Parenting Podcast and our ministry online. And one of the things that we tell people is that when you sign up for the Parenting Mentor Program, you're not signing up for a parent or behavior modification plan, because there is no such thing, right? Because what you see in behavior, we believe, because of what scripture says, is a symptom of a heart issue. And potentially a heart issue can be defined as not just like heart sin in the child, but also relationship issues between the parent and the child, right? In regards to like when someone, a leader, is standing up and saying, follow me, like you were saying in that example, if you're parenting in a way where your children don't respect you and there isn't a strong relationship there, then they're begrudgingly going to just obey out of fear or out of whatever. And we're kind of, one of the things that we talk about is being anti fear-based parenting. That's like the opposite of courageous parenting, right? And so, but that doesn't mean that you don't step into your God-given authority and step up and say, yes, I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to make decisions as a parent. I'm going to protect my kids. I'm going to raise them up and I'm going to teach them about the Lord. And you're saying yes to all these things, right? But it doesn't mean that that's an equation for salvation. And that's where like a lot of parents want that. We want that. I mean, all of us crave that. Tell me what to do and I'll just do it. Right? It's like, we want that, but this is the thing. Sanctification doesn't work that way, you know, and parenting's not just about the spiritual maturity and growth of the child. It's also about the spiritual maturity and that we get to experience as we're being refined and we work out those relational tensions, issues, experiences that we walk through in life along with our children. So yeah. Isaac and I, you know, over the years, we had been exposed to some different books and teachings like Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. There was a conference that the church that we were going to at the time was a community church. They did like a workshop type of thing for 2 or 3 days. And that was when we were early, early on in our parenting. And honestly, what it was it revealed to Isaac and I, wow, we don't agree on how discipline, for example, should happen. And we both looked at each other and went, we actually don't know what we believe about this. And we have one little girl that's like 18 months old. And that for us was our whole, like, we need to start diving in and digging in and reading as much as we could. But back then, 24 years ago, 23 years ago, there wasn't a lot of good biblical books to read. And so what Isaac and I both did was we found mentors in real life that we loved what we saw regarding their marriage. And we asked them to be our mentors and we sat with them and we would talk about things. And this was the thing, like there were two things that were like my qualification factors. One was, do they have fruit in their life, in their relationships? And in their walk with God is one of those relationships, right? Like, do I respect them? And then the second thing was, are they humble enough to share the hard things with me? Because my personal experience is that the best advice you can get from people is when they tell you about the mistakes that they made and they warn you. It's much easier to go, I'm not going to do this, than it is trying to keep up and do all the things that people are telling you to do. And so for us, we were really blessed to have some older mentors. My favorite mentor, the one that I spend the most time with, Annie, she passed about 7 or 8 years ago. So she's at home with Jesus. And her husband ended up mentoring my husband for 12 years. So she discipled me for 4 and then she went back to work. And then my husband met with her husband for 12. And that was legitimately probably one of the most significant, if I was to pick one, that relationship was the most significant on how we parented and how we became introspective and really like dug in our marriage. And so I just think that there is a lot of good books and resources that are available. But there's something to be said for that in real life connection with people who are real, who are honest about the hard things. And they're not just sharing all the good fluffy, oh, look at what we did, which is what you kind of see on Instagram, right? So I think that for us, while we've been on this journey of trying to figure out biblical parenting, the best exercise we ever did, and this would be like my hands down, like number one advice for any parent out there, it would be read your Bible. I know it sounds so simple, but Isaac and I, when we decided after that shepherding a child's heart, and it brought up so many questions of, do we agree with this? Do we not agree with this? What do we, you know what I mean? We just went, okay, let's go on a retreat. Let's just read through all of Proverbs and write down every time the Lord talks about discipline. And that began our journey way back when, of just going to scripture and then discussing and making our decision together, not based upon our experiences, not based upon any traumas that we had potentially experienced or not, but what is God asking us to do? What does God's word say? Not people's opinions, just what does God's word say? And I think that in a world where we have so many opposing opinions, we miss it. The most basic things that God says, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do those two things, it's literally going to transform every aspect of your parenting and your relationships with your kids. But
yeah. And I love that, you know, the simplicity of that, because I think if we spent more time looking at scripture and less looking at parenting experts, we'd have a lot more realistic view of parenting, because in the Bible, there's not one single example of a perfect family or a godly dad who raised godly children. You know what I mean? There's a lot of principles for living. There's a lot of advice, but there's also a lot of...
And there's a lot of messy testimonies also.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, if you were like reading the Psalms every day as part of your sort of parenting instruction, you would have a lot more realistic view of humanity. Because I think that what was sold to us early on is that you could, you know, do these things and then your children would behave perfectly. And our children really behaved really well. But the problem is there was a lot of stuff underneath. Like for one thing, we weren't, there was a lot of sanctification that we needed to do. And so maybe they could behave really well, but then, you know, I was still having my own dysregulation issues or my own issues with having faith. Like, I think that so often as moms, a lot of what we do is out of fear, and our kids pick up on that. It really doesn't breed love and attachment and comfort in the home when they see us, like, you know, reacting to their mistakes out of fear or out of shame, as opposed to having a godly perspective about it, having a perspective that comes from a place of, I'm saved by grace. And here's a child who's also creating God's image, who also has the potential to be saved by grace. And so how about if we respond to each other as the beloved?
I think that when you're talking about relationships and how we portray ourselves in our parenting, there's definitely like a generational shift. You see it from one generation to the next in the different trends of parenting, right? And for me, I was raised by baby boomers. And so there was, both my parents worked. So my great grandma stepped in and she was a huge help, but she was born in 1914. And she started taking care of me when she was 75. And she lived till she was 93. And so her influence every summer of my life, taking us to swimming lessons, teaching us how to chop wood and stack wood and wash dishes and can food and all of the things that she used to do, was very rare. I get that that's a rare thing, that I got that experience and was blessed by that. But the reality is that even with that great grandmother of mine that was very intentional in the summers, when I launched from the home, I still felt incredibly unprepared for marriage and motherhood, for example. Like, I didn't know how to take care of a baby. I didn't know how to have a baby. So when you don't know something, you just start like, well, at least I did. I started getting as many books as I possibly could to read. But again, back then the resources were so limited, especially when it came to a biblical perspective. And so I found myself constantly have to filter absolutely every philosophy, ideology, every opinion through the word of God. And there were, and this is the thing, when you are young and you're still like I'm still learning the word, we all are, right? There are so many times I get into the Bible and I read something, and I'm like, I have read this probably 100 times, but I never saw this phrase in the way that I'm seeing it now. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit and the fact that the Bible is alive and active. And that experience that I have with God, with the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, it's activated in the word, that is what draws me to constantly go and read the Bible over and over again, right? But when you're young and you don't, you know, you think that you have this strong relationship with God, and you're trying to read the word, but it doesn't fully make sense to you because you haven't been reading all of it together to have the context, to have the bigger picture, it can be hard to navigate and it can feel overwhelming. And then you have this little baby that you're trying to take care of and you want to do the best that you can possibly do. And you love them just like every other parent does. And you die for this child, right? But then you're starting to realize as they get older and older, you have decisions to make. Like, how am I going to educate them? And how am I going to vaccinate? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? And it can become overwhelming for parents when they're trying to make these decisions because we all just want to make the right decision for our kids as if there's one right decision. And the truth is sometimes there's not one right decision, actually. Sometimes there's many good decisions and you have to still make the choice. You have to own that and be the leader. And sometimes we make the wrong choice. You know, and when we do, that's when we have an opportunity as parents to be humble and to go to our kids and say, I made the wrong choice. I messed up, or I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And I think that one of the things that I wish I would have parented more in with my older kids was not trying to create perfection or pursue perfection, like even with your home. Right. And I struggled with that so much when I had younger kids. I was very OCD and was like, we have to do this and this and this and this. And I had this order and this routine and it was highly structured. And while kids do thrive in structure because they can anticipate what's coming next and there's so many good things about it, I realized that I had made an idol out of perfection and I was pursuing that. And it put an expectation on my kids that was heavy. It was a burden. And I had to repent and turn away from that. Does that mean my house is chaotic? No, because I'm like so many people will pendulum swing, right? Like when they realize that this isn't what I thought it was going to be, we'll go over here to the other end. But by God's grace, I've never been like a pendulum swinger. Instead, I've always been just trying to seek for like, Lord, what is your will? And I want to join you in that. Not necessarily even like your will for my life, like what is God's will in this? And when you seek that, that's when you have conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's when you realize I'm doing this wrong. I need to apologize. And I did do a lot of that, maybe even too much of that with my kids when they were little, because I made so many more mistakes. I used to let things get to me so much more than I do now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And some of these things, it's like we want to, you know, I would love to be able to communicate some of them to the young moms, especially, you know, not to get so embarrassed, because I think that's one of the most destructive things is that we, you know, like our kids throw a tantrum or they get upset about something. And then we get so embarrassed as if it's all on us. And, you know, my daughter said, God puts paradox in the Bible to prevent us from going to extremes. And I love how you talked about that there's sometimes we will make the wrong decision. Like we are all trying our best to figure this out, but sometimes we will make mistakes and to be able to look at parenting as more of a journey with the Lord and more of a journey, like, you know, Habits for a Sacred Home isn't so much about how to have a perfectly godly home. It's about how to be steady and faithful in the midst of the messiness of humanity. Because God isn't, you know, he wouldn't have died on the cross if we could be perfect. But what he's calling us into is relationship, a trusting relationship where we, as children, have faith in what he's saying and have faith that he's going to cover us when we make mistakes or don't understand right. And I think there's going to be a lot of that. And so I think approaching life with just a little bit more whimsy, a little bit more trust is going to help us be, what was that?
Grace-filled even, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to help our parenting if we can approach it with just less of this perfectionism and more hope that God's going to help us figure out the right path. And, you know, one of the things I think that's especially hard is, you know, it's like the Bible says, children, obey your parents. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. But I think in our culture, especially for Protestants, it often feels like, well, there's no, like, who's going to call my husband to
be submitting to?
Yes. Yeah. Who's he going to be accountable to? And there's lots of other scriptures. It says, you know, submit yourselves one to another. It, as a wife, the word helpmeet is the same word as Holy Spirit. And you see the Holy Spirit as a comforter and as an advisor. And so I think there's a lot of authority that we have as women. And I'm not giving some kind of an instructive way of being in a family. But I believe that part of what's happened in culture is there's no authority structure and everybody's just kind of living for themselves in a sense, each doing what is right in their own eyes. And that's part of why we have such chaos in civilization. So I think there has to be a return at least to the authority of scripture. But I think a lot of people are actually, you know, I've heard of a lot of Protestants becoming Catholic. And I think partly because they want that more structured church system that actually says, here's what we believe, and this is what you need to do as a Catholic believer. Whereas with Protestants, it's like, okay, I don't like what this church tells me to do. I'm going to go to a different church. There's sort of so much freedom, and I love freedom, that it can be really hard to figure out what's right. And I just love to hear you speak to that a little bit, because, you know, for my husband and I, we believe that we're saved by grace, that it's the blood of Jesus that covers us. And so there is a certain amount of freedom to even make mistakes inside of that. But also, we love him. And because we love him, we want to do our best to live according to his word and live in a way that brings honor to him. I'd love to hear how you've kind of wrestled out some of that.
100%. So it's interesting that you mentioned Catholicism and Protestantism. I was raised in a Lutheran home my whole life. In fact, my family goes back about six generations, Lutheran on one side and almost purely Lutheran on the other side, just as far back. There is some Methodism as well. And interestingly enough, there's also not ever been a recorded divorce for six to seven generations, which is a powerful legacy that's, I believe, rare. And it's been something that when I first got married was like a massive encouragement, right? And so looking at that faithfulness through the generations of God and proclaiming it, and that's something that is like very unheard of. In fact, when you're raised in a Christian home and you don't even remember not believing in God, like that's my part of my testimony is I don't ever have a time of not believing in God. Was there a time where I was living more for myself and not sold out for Christ and laying down my life? Yes, there was. But then God quickly, by the power of his Holy Spirit, convicted me about that. And at a young age, I think I was 15 and a half-ish, when I realized like, whoa, this relationship that he's calling me to is actually calling me to surrender everything. That's really the call. It was the lay down your cross and take up mine, follow me right now kind of call. And when I experienced that in my life, and then I went to a evangelical free church Bible college, a university in Canada, and I went into missions and I thought I was going to be a celibate missionary that was unmarried. And now I laugh at that because here I am married for 25 years with 9 kids and 2 grandkids. And my life is completely different than how I planned it. And it's way better. But this is the crazy part. When it comes to different theologies and doctrine bases, I grew up in something that was highly structured. Some would even call it legalistic in some different denominations, right? And when Isaac and I got married, he had not been raised in a Christian home. And so he got saved when he was 23. We got married and he turned 24 like the next week. And so for us, we looked at each other and we went, how do we want to raise our kids? We're going to be leaving a new legacy and it's ours. Clean slate. Boom. What do we want? And so we evaluated the things that I was raised with and we picked the things that we believed were going to be wholesome, were going to be catalysts to leaving good culture and helping our family to build a strong tie to one another. Things like worship, right? I grew up with worship all the time. My parents were worship leaders. And so worship was like something it was a way I loved to connect with the Lord. And so obviously there was going to be, I want my kids to have piano lessons. I want us to know how to worship together and for that to be part of our family culture and for them to be equipped so that whatever they do in life, they can always worship. That was like the thinking behind leaving a legacy of worship, right? But this is the thing, like there are other things that I would look back on and go, yeah, don't want that generational sin. Yeah, I don't want that, you know? And so we had to like own those things and go, not going to have those, but what are we going to replace it with? It's kind of that put off, put on perspective. And for us, I would say if you were to ask me like, what is your doctrine, Angie? We call ourselves biblicists. I mean, we're really just trying to live biblically and follow Christ and obey him because we love him. And we walk out our faith with fear and trembling. We take what we teach incredibly seriously because James 3:1 says, not many of you should want to be teachers, my brother, unless you receive a stricter judgment. And so for us, we're like, whoa, what we say had better be founded in the word of God because that's our like guide. Right? When parents ask for specific advice, like for example, in our parenting mentor program, which is a 6-week program, we have 3 lives. And during those lives, we do 60-minute teaching on a totally different topic that we don't cover in the podcast because it's in a private group in our app. So no big tech watching. We can share openly, candidly about the struggles we've had as parents, the sanctification process without feeling like there's, people watching in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And the beautiful part of that is then we do a 30-minute, after the 60-minute teaching, we do a 30-minute Q&A and parents open up. So we currently have about 56 parents in our current program and we're on week 2 with them. So this next week we'll be doing our next live. And then we have 3 churches that have groups going through the program along with those 56 parents. And the Q&As are amazing. People are transparent. They're sharing real struggles. They're asking like, okay, what do you do when you have unbelieving grandparents or unbelieving family members and you feel like this is unsafe? How do you set boundaries? We talk about that kind of stuff. We talk about raising teenagers and adults, which is a harder thing to share on social media, right? And the reality is though, you know, ultimately any answer we have, we'll tell people like, well, this is what we've done. And this was the fruit that we saw. Take it or leave it. These were the things we wish we would not have done. You know what I mean? Like, and then we go back to, but the Bible says this. This is what the Bible says, and this is why we chose to do that. But the Bible also says this, right? And so we try to bring like a perspective for people to have to chew on their answer and then talk about it with their spouse. It's not just, you know, Angie sitting giving, oh, do what I did. I don't believe that parenting is cookie cutter in a one-way thing. I believe God has every family's design uniquely and that there's different needs, there's different seasons, there's different experiences, which require each individual to be solely sold out in relationship with the Lord and seeking him to get his wisdom, not Isaac and Angie's wisdom. You know?
Yeah. That's so good, Angie, because I think ultimately we all just need to be cultivating our own personal relationship with God so we can be led by him. Like if we are listening to scripture and listening to his voice, then we'll be able to make the right decision and making those decisions with that sense of faith that if I make a mistake, God's not going to smite me. Like he's going to work all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so I hope that families listening will, you know, not take, like, we're not giving you a prescription for how to put the concept of order in action in your home. Like, I believe that it's important for children to listen and obey their parents. I feel like it's a better way to promote your values when you have taught your children to listen to your voice.
Hey, I love what you're saying. I believe that children need to obey their parents too. And yeah. John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. And right. So obedience truly is a matter of the heart, right? And as parents, when we're having a problem with a kid being obedient, our first, like for me, I look at the situation and I always assess myself first. And I assess my relationship with my kid. Am I making it hard for them to want to obey me? Like, what is their desire? Am I living in a way that is going to make them want to follow? And if I'm not, Lord, would you convict me and help me change the way I'm living? Help me to pursue that child's heart if maybe I haven't been spending enough time with them and they just feel like mom's just command mom and constantly saying, do this and then do this and then do this and then do this. That can be very like, that can be heavy on a kid. We need to have heart relationships with them and recognize that as we pursue relationship with them, we need to teach them it's a two-way street, right?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because there's so many other principles of like, you know, if you were a family who just put in the principle of order and you neglected the principle of balance or the principle of bringing your children up in the nurture of the Lord, I think that that's when we get out of order. And so ultimately, I hope people listening will, you know, read the Bible, talk to your spouse, talk to your family, your pastors, and talk to God. Like God is ready and willing to answer. It says that if you ask for a fish, he won't give you a stone. And so I think, you know, committing these big questions, these big parenting questions to him, instead of just looking to somebody who's written a book and you don't know their family life, is just so wise. So I'm going to link the Courageous Mom in the show notes. I'm so thankful for all the wisdom you've shared today, Angie. It's just been such a delight to get to hash these things out with a, you know, another mom who has a lot of kids and has been parenting for a while. There's a certain amount of wisdom that comes when you've parented kids into the adult years. And I'm so grateful you were willing to share.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on with you today. And for those of you that are listening, if you want to find out more about our website, you can find the Courageous Parenting Podcast anywhere. We actually are getting close to hitting 300 download or 300 episodes, and we just hit 4 million downloads. And so it's definitely resonating with a lot of people. And it's been a blessing to do that with my husband because he brings in a different perspective of that makes it easier for guys to listen with you. And then you can have conversations about what we talk about. And so like our heart is that couples would actually be parenting as a team in alignment with one another. And so that's why we created resources that help both couples to sit together and learn together.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for sharing, Angie.